let's move on into level three, what we've kind of seen it as, becoming a servant of God. We've had the becoming serious about the faith. We're beginning to study the word more. We're beginning to understand that it's a question of obedience and his will, not our will. But now we're getting that idea that he's called us to be a servant. What does that sound like when we pray?
I think it's some more of the intercessory prayer starts coming in, where, you know, just as we looked in the life model, the maturity indicators at the adult stage, this is where the main task means to be taking care of two people simultaneously. So whereas before it seems like the prayer life was focused, self-centered on myself, when we reach this, we're understanding that there are other people, and it's more the intercessory prayer for other people, I think, coming in, where you are taking care of, I am taking care of more of my, not just myself, but I'm considering other people mm-hmm. in my prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think there's still some of that help me to prayer, but I think that because we've begun to understand in stage two that God's will should be a part of that, that we're including may your will be done in some of our prayers also. And I think, too, what we pray for, instead of praying for a new car or something like that, something material, we're probably looking at more spiritual things. Bless me with patience and understanding.
Ooh, that's a dangerous prayer.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. Very dangerous, mm-hmm. but that's where you enter into that dangerous zone.
Mm-hmm. And it's not to mean that praying for a new car, should you really need a new car, is a wrong thing to do.
No.
But taking these other things into consideration, too.
Exactly.
I think there's more of a humility that starts coming in. I think in that second level, I think we start becoming more self-assured and as we begin working for the Lord and having more confidence. I think in that third level, I began seeing that God brought me up to a certain level, but then it was like he began breaking me down and humbling me in ways that I never thought, and beginning to understand that he is sovereign, he's in control. I always said, the smarter I get, the dumber I get, because the more I came to understand his word, the more I understood that how little I knew and how I don't have control of my life.
Mm-hmm. Where I thought before of the earlier stages as realizing that God might want to do some remodeling of me, at this stage I'm thinking, now I'm realizing, wait, there's more remodeling here than I can handle. And I'm starting to get the drift that there are things in me that cannot continue.
Yeah, and it's only through the work of the Spirit that anything is accomplished there, because certainly I cannot make these changes in myself of my own power.
Mm-hmm. And even as you were becoming more humbled, you're also becoming more aware of his authority.
Yes.
In our lives.
I think too that in this stage that where we are trying to buck up enough energy or working up faith, mm-hmm. We are growing in faith, but we're still trying to work it up of ourselves, I think, mm-hmm. a bit. Whereas it was pretty much mostly of ourselves before that, we're actually moving out of that and understanding that faith does begin with God, that he blesses us with that faith also.
I think for me at this time, there was a lot of struggles in my life. My children were teenagers, and they went through a lot of struggles. So there was a lot of learning to be dependent upon him, but not understanding what was going on. It was, I don't understand what's going on, but God, you're in control. You know, all things work together for good. And the foundation of Scripture was so important. The promises that he makes, my background, what I had already been through, built upon this becoming a servant.
I think it follows right from that, too, that as an adult, that's part of what we're learning how to do is to persevere, pray, and stay, even though things are difficult, that we're not going to just turn away because things don't feel exactly right. And if you think of that as a servant, that is, we are there to serve. We're not in control of the situation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do we perceive God as we're moving into realizing that we're his servant, not just his child, but we still remain his child, mm-hmm. but now we're his child and his servant?
I think there's still some of that fear bonding present in our perception of God. I think that we do begin to move into the love bond stage, though, where it's more of a love. And so we're understanding love between the Father and the child and a love of the Son and Spirit. But I think we're seeing him more as the Sovereign, as the King, Lord. And I think that's where the Master, too, we start to recognize him as Master, because who does a servant serve? He serves the Master.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how would our prayer sound as we move from thinking of God, you know, good fellow, buddy, buddy, to seeing him as Master?
Not my will, but yours be done.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And would we always use formal, like biblical church language, kind of, or what would happen? Do we ever use more personal language?
Yeah.
Yeah, more intimate, more intimacy.
Yeah.
A prayer without ceasing comes to my mind, just in every situation throughout the day, and knowing he's there, and there's the ongoing conversation with him, not just the formal sitting down first thing in the morning saying my 10-15 minute prayer, but it's an ongoing relationship with him minute by minute of the day.
Is that walking with him then,
mm-hmm.
Continually?
Yeah.
Just as you're saying, and praying unceasingly,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's also the time where that prayer becomes, our life is starting to be built more around mm-hmm. our faith,
mm-hmm.
Not just a Sunday Christian kind of thing, mm-hmm. but just that all of a sudden we're changing our lives to serve God and to serve mm-hmm. his people.
Every single moment, wherever we are.
Yeah, and then I was just thinking, you know, how does our language change? You know, is it always formal? I still think, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. But it's okay because you get it, even though I don't get it. I remember, Barb, do you think it was this stage you were in when you understood that it was okay to be perplexed?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was it the Corinthian verses? We're perplexed but not destroyed or something? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes. I was thinking about it as I started reflecting, now how would one behave before an earthly king? When I'm thinking of Jesus of Nazareth as Master, okay, how we don't think anything of bowing before a king, you know, and in my church background, kneeling was not something that was done, or, you know, we thought it was too Catholic, or, you know, it was not our faith tradition. But when I thought about it, if you would kneel before a king, if you would allow a king to have life and death control over you, if you would allow a king to direct where you live, what your livelihood is, then how much more would we not let the King of the universe mm-hmm. be that sovereign and be the one that we have no problem kneeling before or bowing before or being on the floor, on your face, whatever we need to do, because that's really understanding our true position before him as our king.
Yeah, I remember the first time that Yeshua told me that I needed to get down on the floor.
I remember that.
Yeah, I needed to lay flat on the floor, and that was totally foreign to me. I mean, sitting with my head bowed was, you know, that was the normal thing, but getting down on the floor and that was quite different. But there are different positions, prayer positions,
yes.
And mm-hmm. perhaps this is the stage that that starts to becoming an understanding also.
Mm-hmm. Scripturally, there is praying with hands uplifted, there's praying on your knees, and there's praying prostrate on the ground. And nowhere does it say that we have to fold our hands and close our eyes and bow our head. But that's our tradition.
Especially while you're driving.
And it works really well to keep young children quiet and or keep adults' attention from wandering. But it's not necessarily a scriptural position, but it's something that we have inherited and we probably automatically do. So I've said, too, that I think the posture of the prayer reflects the content of the prayer. If we are in supplication, if we're asking him for something, then doesn't it make sense that we would be kneeling? If we are praising him, doesn't it make sense that we would be up and joyful? Yes. It matches. It's cohesive. And that's part of becoming a mature person, too, is that you're the same on the inside as you are on the outside. If you're praising and raising your hands to him in your heart, why not raise your physical hands as well? And that's where that self-consciousness thing comes in. I don't know about all of you, but I know in my background that was not done. So we joked about being one of the frozen chosen, and it was my hands that were thawed first. And now I can't be in worship without moving around, and we're in dance, and to me, to be worshiping with all your heart and mind and soul and strength makes a whole lot more sense. That is a quite a calling. What about the pitfalls as we're moving into this sense of our Lord, our King? Where can we get into trouble there?
I think one of the first pitfalls is those fear bonds again. Boy, they keep coming back to haunt us, don't they? I think you can kind of get stuck in those and focus on your own efforts and fall into depending on your own...
What did you say? If I perform right, then you'll do what I want?
Yeah. I think that's kind of performance-based.
Because you're a good servant.
Yes, exactly.
I've thought sometimes, too, that that question of self-sufficiency and pride gets in here. I'm going to do something for God, when in truth, he really doesn't need us to do anything for him. But he does want us to allow him to work through us.
Yes.
Relevant scripture for this portion, Joshua 24:15, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Everybody's nodding, but you can't hear that on tape.